You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn and John O'Connell are your team in the studio on this edition, looking to the best of Wednesday's action. And there's a fair amount of action as well to look forward to on Wednesday. Racing at Beverley, Newton Abbott and Salisbury in the afternoon, and through the evening at Garran Park, Kempton Park and Bangor-on-Dee as well. The action over fences as well is back, John, and after a little bit of an absence, well, we're not actually going to focus on any of the jumping tomorrow, but after a little bit of an absence, the jumps are back, I should say.
Yeah, Newton Abbott and Bangor-on-Dee tomorrow, and haven't picked out any bets of those two meetings, but a bit of a break for the jockeys over the last 10 or 12 days, and back in action now for tomorrow.
Yeah, and plenty more coming up over the next few weeks as well for the summer jumps boys, and whisper it quietly, but we're actually not that far away from the start of the jump season now, are we, really?
Yeah, it sort of gets into swing probably, what, late September, early October? Yeah, and then before you know it, the big Cheltenham Open meet in November is upon us, the three-day meeting.
Just the front page of the Racing Post today is talking about the new rule to spell the end of no-hopers in the Derby. That's the headline. Basically, it's to stop the Diore Lear saga happening again.
Yeah.
I can completely see why it's been put in place. It seems to make sense.
Yeah, that's
which isn't something you can often say about decisions that happen in the horse racing world.
No, that did take up an awful lot of column inches this year and the build-up to the race, and the horse didn't actually go there in the end. It was not just about the horse itself, it was about the jockey riding it, or due to ride it as well. Mm. So it was all a bit messy in the end. I think now the cut-off point is an 80-plus rated horse, so you're still going to get some lowly grade horses in there if owners and trainers take that pretty literally.
Yeah. At the same time, in good two-year-old races, there's every chance that a horse may have some untapped potential.
Yeah, but I suppose by the summer of their three-year-old career, you'd have seen it by then anyway. So
that's
suppose yeah. anything sub-80 or around that sort of mark would have been only in there as pacemakers anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
So they're trying to get rid of... It's probably no bad thing, but to be honest, it's... It's probably a quiet news day if that's the front page news.
No, that is true. So we'll just have a quick mention back at the best of yesterday's racing, because obviously we were here together in the William Hill Racing Radio studio. It was a quiet Monday, but actually a fairly competitive Monday. It was quite a pleasant Monday, I would say, in the end.
Yeah, a couple of decent winners at Ayr. Size Matters, who we talked up before the races, going back to 7 furlongs, which was definitely in that one's advantage. And now they found that one's trip. I think they'll be winning more races. And a few other decent winners in the card. Chinese Spirit won at the bottom end of the handicap, won that for a rating of 65-315 race yesterday. Done that nicely, and I think there's more to come from that one as well.
Mm, I think having watched all of the action yesterday, particularly there, I think if you were to make a sort of lucky 15 of next time out, if they're all running on the same day again, you wouldn't mind being with the two that you've just named there, Chinese Spirit and Size Matters, and also Weekend Defender, and also...
Sapal in the last.
Sapal, that was it, yeah.
Yeah.
Who absolutely hosed up in the last. May have benefited from the underfoot conditions, but looked like a horse that... What on earth was it doing in that race?
Yeah, and it won't get him any more chance in a race like this, and they're going to have to be out with that horse in the next 10 days or so to take advantage of the handicapping. Mm. That'll be going up a lot more than the penalty would give it. So, Sapal, if it gets those sort of conditions again, I suppose we're just due for a bit of decent summer weather, aren't we? So maybe it may have to wait a little while before it gets the conditions, if summer ever comes.
Yes, that is true. But no, there was plenty of decent racing on Monday. We are going to turn our attentions to Wednesday's action, though. We're going to focus on three races at Salisbury and also one at Beverley. Now, two clear here at William Hill on Wednesday comes from Salisbury and Kempton in the evening. We'll start at Salisbury. We'll start with the 3:20 race. It is the Pembroke Cup, a handicap over a mile for the three-year-olds, and there are so many three-year-olds that arrive here in good form. I think it's fair to say you wouldn't mind owning any of these.
It's not a bad little race at all, and fair play to Salisbury. They put up a fair bit of money at tomorrow's meeting, and £10,000 for the 3:20. The weights are headed by Surrey Hope, who's been in decent form this summer for Joseph Chewett, had a couple of wins earlier on, and didn't run too badly in defeat at Newmarket last time, so there's still hope for that one after just four runs to have more improvement to come. But the horse that took my eye here is Rigoletto from Luca Comani's yard. He's been in decent form over the last couple of weeks. Jamie Spencer rides. I think if he could have ridden that race again at Newmarket last time, he wouldn't mind getting those 2 minutes back, because it didn't work out for the horse at all. If you could see from an early stage of the race, he was going to find a bit of trouble. I suppose you could say he didn't really do an awful lot when he got out. But in the end, he was probably rate or value for more than the three-length fourth that he was beaten in the end. And I think there could be more to come from Rigoletto. And he just looks a typical Cumani improver. And he's not going to be any great shakes long-term as a listed horse or anything like that. But I think a race like this is well within his capabilities.
Tackettle won this race last year for the Hills team with Paul Hannigan on board. That was for Sheikh Hamdan. He runs Bashik this time around, is just one of genuinely any of them that you could give a squeak to in this.
Yeah, and dropping back now to a mile, having been a mile and a quarter last couple of runs. Not too sure last time if it was the stamina or the soft ground that beat the horse, but yeah, getting back to a mile could be what the horse wants, but he's just got a little bit to prove now at the moment, because you could make excuses for him given the trip last couple of runs. I'd just rather see the horse actually do it now before part with any hard earned on him.
Okay. And just looking at the history of the race, Sir Michael Stout's got a superb record in the race. Unfortunately, he doesn't have a runner on Wednesday in this 3:20, but it is a wide open contest, and if pushed, you're plumping with...
I'll go for Rigoletto.
Okay.
Jamie Spencer and Luca Comani, another partnership winner.
Okay. The 3:50 is the next race that we're going to focus on. It is the feature contest of the day, really. Not often that you get listed action on a Wednesday, but it is the Upavon Fillies Stakes, a listed race over a mile and 2 furlongs. We've got a field of 10 of them set to go to post here. Once again, plenty of really nice types in here, but these fillies races can be really difficult to get a handle on. And this sort of looks the same. There's plenty of likely types, but there isn't one that's screaming at me, at least, this is the winner.
Yeah, a lot of these fillies races, you get horses coming from different angles, some going up from maidens or the handicap route, or horses have been around in listed company, or even dropping down from group company. Mm. So this is a typical one of those. It's a bit of a mix-and-match race, but there's plenty of horses in there, still possible improvers, and it's... Well, 10 runners, so plenty of them going for a bit of black type, and it's a decent little race for a Wednesday afternoon.
It is, and there's no obvious bias in the last few years anyway, with the three-year-olds obviously being better than the older horses. It went to a four-year-old last year, three-year-old the year before, four-year-old, three-year-old. Has gone to some nice types. Journey won it in 2015 as well for John Gosden. Where should we start with this one?
Well, Playful Sound looks like being very prominent at the head of the market. Sir Michael Stout's runner, and has got form in this grade, ran well at York a few weeks ago behind Ensar. And when you saw this horse win at Newmarket in a valuable handicap on Guineas Day, you just thought this was the next stage for the horse. Disappointed after that at Nottingham, not too sure if there was any genuine excuse there. And he had, or she has rather, on a couple of occasions put in dodgy sort of runs with no obvious reason for it. So she's not absolutely bomb-proof at all. Skiffle has got a little bit to prove. Dropped down into handicap company last time at Goodwood. Ground probably didn't suit on that occasion, as with so many runners at the meeting, but she too has a little bit to prove at the moment. She's a bit of a price, but I thought Bills and Best could be of interest. Richard Hannon filly. She runs the course very well. She's got a good record here. She's really ultra game, and anything that gets past her will know they've been in a bit of a fight. Won last time at Goodwood in a competitive handicap there. That just proved she can cut the mustard on a soft ground or fast ground, but I like her attitude. She's one of the, as they say, the unsexy types, if you like, coming into a race like this. She's been doing a handicap company, but she's well worth a try in a better race than this. And Holly Doyle, who can't actually claim in a race like this, unfortunately. So you're losing £3 there, so to speak. But I think Bulls and Bess have still got a little bit more improvement to come, and she'll be an each-way type of price.
Mm, and she still does get the allowance for being a three-year-old in the race. So
yeah, she's got three. Yeah, to be that, say, Holly Doyle can't claim another £3, but She's just an improving type, and she's very game, and you sort of know what you're going to get with her. And I wouldn't be surprised if Bills and Bess certainly outran her odds.
OK. And you mentioned Skiffle was actually in behind Bills and Bess and comprehensively beaten last time out. So if that form stacks up, then Bills and Bess could well prove a little bit of value.
She could.
In this contest. OK, then we'll stick at Salisbury for one more race. The 420 is a handicap over a mile and two once again. 13 of them are set to run here. And while this may lack the... maybe the quality or the star appeal, if you like, of the previous two races that we have looked at, there are still some arriving here in pretty decent nick. I think the issue for a lot of them is they just don't win very often.
They don't. The weights are headed by Biotic, Rod Millman's. Biotic is rated 75 and has long had the chance to run in a 0-75 contest, but they've been passing up the opportunity of late and has been busier banging his head in better class races. I think he'll definitely enjoy the drop-in class here today, Biotic. The one I took my eye here, down towards the bottom, is number 8, Quothquan.
Okay.
Trained by Michael Madrick, ridden by George Wood, who takes £3 off. Quothquan, I thought, ran really well on the all-weather when last seen a couple of months ago in a race at Kempton. It looked a pretty ordinary race at the time, but it's actually worked out really well because the winner, Cripps Causeway, won a couple more since. The third horse, Bonnie Arlene, has also been a winner. And Quothquan was the only one in that race who made... of the first three home, who made any sort of progress from off the pace. The winner and third had dominated throughout, and there was a lot of money for Quothquan on that occasion. He's since been gelded, so that could eke a bit more improvement out of the horse. Before that, he was in very deep at Goodwood and a hot handicap there. It's just possible a Quothquan, if the gelding operation gets a few more pounds out of him, then I think he's going to take a lot of beating here.
George Wood on board as well, who's still claiming three. He's a cracking jockey, though.
Yeah, he's been apprentice now for a couple of years and he's slowly building up a few more contacts and he's still claiming £3, as you say, and all the while building up a useful portfolio of experience.
Yeah.
So it's not, we mentioned yesterday about some jockeys can ride through the claim a little bit too quickly. Mm. He's not in danger of doing that, but all the while he's getting more experience and his £3 is pretty handy on a horse like this.
Just want to mention two down towards the bottom. Obviously, the three-year-olds are the ones that are probably the most interesting in this race, and there's two that are really very unexposed, particularly in the context of this race, in Health for Richard Hannon and Tom Marquand, and Josh the Plod for the Balding team, Jason Watson on board.
Well, neither of them have shown too much today. Health showed maybe a touch more last time on handicap debut at Lingfield, but has to build on that. I'm afraid I can't really work up any enthusiasm for the Andrew Balding-trained... Josh the Plod, who was actually beaten in a cellar last time at Leicester and just looks pretty ordinary. That was a very weak cellar as well. This one's always ridden by Jason Watson, so it's nothing new in the jockey bookings for that one at all. I just think Josh the Plod's got an awful lot to do. Of more interest for me amongst the three-year-olds would be Holani from Philip Hyjard, who came from an impossible position last time at Windsor when coming third, but that was a step back in the right direction, and they thought a little bit of this horse last year, and he's been slow to build on it this season, but there could be something more to come now. And he looked as if he was just getting back on track last time.
Okay. So in a tricky little race, it's not the unexposed three-year-olds, it's the ones that sort of have been there, done that, and you're hoping with Quothquan that the gelding op has just eked out that little bit more.
Yeah, and I don't think it would take much more from building on that run at Tempton, albeit on the all-weather last time, back on turf tomorrow at Salisbury, but I think a repeat of that could almost be good enough.
OK. Right, we'll move to Beverley then, and the 4.10 race is the only race that we're focusing on from Beverley. Again, a mile and two, the trip for this handicap. There's just the six of them to go to post, but all six of them know their job, and there's some really interesting runners in this, horses that we know plenty about. We'll start with the old boy, shall we? Save the Bees.
Yeah, he doesn't miss too many gigs here at Beverley, does he? Will likely go from the front, as he so often does. And Save the Bees, he's been in decent enough form lately and no reason why he shouldn't run his race, but he's got to give away to a couple of progressive three-year-olds here, and that's going to be a difficult enough task for him, I think.
So, Hollywood Road, Sunglider, Marikib, respected. Just before we get to the three-year-olds, Marikib has been out of form, but you wouldn't be surprised to see an improved show from that one. Sunglider has been in good nick and does like it here, and Hollywood Road has been in fantastic form. Very much respected in this.
Yeah, but this is one of those handicaps where the old boys have been round the block, so to speak, for a little while, and those three-year-olds at the bottom, I think Barwell is going to be the one who gains most attention, just the half dozen runs or so far, and won the last two at Haydock and Ripon. The Haydock win couple of months ago has been franked since by the runner-up Briansky. Set form is solid. £8 rise is high enough, but it's probably warranted on the way it won there last time. Possibly more interesting to me, though, is Alexander M, the one at the bottom of Mark Johnston's. They went from the front last time at Chester, and Joe Fanny at Chester, that was a winning combination on that occasion 10 days ago. Done it in good style. A couple of pounds well in under the penalty. Just feel this one, it won't get an easy run of the race at all, with Save the Bees in there, but I like to see them prominent at Beverley, and I think this one's got a chance now of following up. He just may have found his level. The run before that at Chester was disappointing. Mark Johnson's can often bounce back, as this one did, but I was taken by the way he won last Sunday, and there could be a little bit more tonight to come from this one.
Okay, so you're sticking with the Johnson horse?
Sticking with Alexander M, who may be a nice enough price for us, given that Barwell, the one above it, will surely garner a lot of attention in the market.
And the last 2 3-year-olds to win this contest, both trained by Mark Johnson as well, 2012 Party Line and 2015 Donna Graciosa. So
he does tend to have a lot of runners in these Beverley and Yorkshire-type handicaps with these. And he's a trainer who very quickly in the season targets these races with the three-year-olds against the older horses, realising that he's got the improver up his sleeve against the more exposed types.
And Joe Fanning riding very well, and he had a double, didn't he, there on Monday.
And didn't have to work too hard, as we said, for that last one on Sir Powell.
No, that's true. Okay, then, good stuff, John. Can you just spin us through your four fancies, the three at Salisbury and then the one at Beverley on Wednesday afternoon?
So at Salisbury, we're going to 3:20 Races Rigoletto, the 3:50 Bilston Bess, the 4:20 Quathplan, and over to Beverley in the 4:10 race, it's Alexander M.
Great stuff. Make sure you join the guys in the studio on Wednesday for all of the action. Thank you very much for joining me, John.
Thanks,
Alan. And we'll catch up with you soon.
Cheers.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.